Stay silent or drop. Okay, so welcome to the January 29th use case realization call. Today I'll be presenting on the 5G service modeling use case, which is here. Put it in the chat here. So in R6, this use case is just purely modeling work, and basically we're trying to figure out what we need to do to turn up a real 5G DU. So maybe I'll just go over the overview really quickly. So basically 5G, you know, 5G networks are being rolled out, and there's three major cornerstones that define 5G or make it unique compared to, say, 4G LTE. ENBB, enhanced mobile broadband, you know, about 10,000 times the amount of traffic, MMTC, fueling the Internet of Things, and ultra reliable low latency communications, sub millisecond latency communications. And, you know, ONAP is sitting on top of this RAN network and core elements. So basically, when we actually try to turn on a 5G base station, what does ONAP need to support that? So a lot of other use cases have also obviously related to this as well.
Quickly here, Ben, is the front haul between the DU and CU, or between RU and DU?
So the front haul is between, so the back haul is what goes out to the rest of the core. The front haul is in front of the CU, and the CPRI link, the optical link, is internally between the RU and DU. There's actually like an ONAP front haul working group, which, you know, is looking at the hardware in this. Also, as we move to things like maybe hoteling and stuff, more and more of the like the modem stuff in the DU becomes centralized, and possibly even like a, you know, more in a central office type thing. So ONAP
Hey Ben.
Yeah, good.
Another thing, maybe to help improve, if you could make sure all the acronyms are expanded.
Oh yeah, okay, sure. Yeah. I can add more there. Yeah. Okay. So ONAP will so CU ONAP sees as a VNF, and a DU ONAP sees as a PNF. And arguably, ONAP probably doesn't need to model the RU as anything, except possibly sort of attributes in a DU. So for example, within radio units, there are cells, and ONAP will probably has already shown, for example, in the one use case, that it cares about cells. So let me just get a couple of people joined. It's really weird how it doesn't find, like, Raghavan, I know, has an account, but just can't find it.
Yeah. Something wrong with the ONAP, though.
It's really weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I don't know why I can find some people, can't find others. But okay. So now modeling a service, basically, which is what we really care about, is how is ONAP going to see a 5G service? And again, this is one domain, so it's the wireless domain, and there are many other domains that ONAP needs to manage, like, you know, like the fixed wireless or optical and so forth, and routers. But broadly, you know, the ONAP, you associate resources with a service, you know, VNFs, PNFs, and ANFs. You can associate policies, templates, blueprints, other deployment artifacts, heat templates. And so I'm going to actually focus on a specific piece of the platform information model, which I think and it's really just an open discussion. I'm starting with the standards, and I need to, you know, I have engaged Andy Mayer and other people from the modeling team, and eventually also we'll make a, now I'm at a stage probably we will make a presentation at the modeling subcommittee. So there is already a lot of infrastructure in place to sort of set up a really fundamental relationship between XENOPS. So in SDC, you can basically bring on board, you can onboard a resource. So Michaela and Zhu and I have been working on this pre-onboarding and onboarding use case in a previous release and starting with Dublin. And you know, you can onboard a PNF such that you can define how they link together and virtual links and connection points. And the ETSI standards also facilitate this kind of modeling. but so the next step, I feel, is that there's a network. So there's a network resource model, which is defined in 3GPP 28.540 and 5.41. So this 3GPP is a standards body which defines a lot of the basic operation and standards for the for how 5G networks will operate. And a couple of relevant standards from a modeling standpoint is 3GPP 28.540 and 5.41. And what I have here is 5.41, which is the network resource model. So if I jump to page 52. Okay. So basically there's a set of objects that it suggests and stuff, but more importantly, and what I want to focus on actually. So basically I went through this document and read it and contacted the rapporteur for the document, which is Jingping. And you know, they have definitions of the classes and attributes and stuff, and I was curious if there was a spreadsheet for this, and there wasn't. so I took about a month to make one, so to help our analysis here. So basically, I took all of the classes in this document, and I presented this at other places too. So some of you might have already heard this talk or part of this talk. so I took a look at basically the objects, and for example, for a particular class or object or function they have that's mentioned in the document, it has a set of attributes that are associated with it, and the description is just the same. I mean, I could have copied it, I suppose, but essentially this object has, you know, the same description, but these are the parameters associated with that object. So another way to view it, though, this information is basically here's all of the, and I just presented on the ANA calls. But another way to take a look at this information is that basically there's a number of parameters that are essentially mentioned in this document. And so this sheet is a view of all of those attributes and their description and, you know, what kind of thing it is and its multiplicity, is it ordered, unique, and default. And this is all just straight out of the document. So in discussions with the modeling team, they suggested, well, one thing that would be good to know, a couple things that would be good to know that you can expand on, which I have subsequently done, and now and after I've done that, now here I am presenting. So one of the things they said was, gee, it'd be nice to, and I forget if it was Andy or Kevin who suggested, well, gee, it'd be nice to know if this thing might go into ANEI or if it's something in like the runtime config DB that Joanne and I are working on. So there are some things that are essentially just runtime type of information that we don't expect, you know, it's not inventory information, right? And I was fairly conservative with things that I tagged in ANEI, meaning that many of these things probably won't go into ANEI either. I just tagged them just to be safe, and I had just presented just in this, the ANA call happened just in the previous hour to this one, so they gave me some time to present, and I presented this, and I said, you know, we probably need to go through these and just make sure are the parameters any and any already sort of sufficient to support this stuff? And what I did was I took basically anything that's related to states, anything related to addresses, and anything related to like things like IDs and names, I tagged as maybe it might be associated with ANI. So then basically everything else I tagged with, you know, that's going to be a runtime type of parameter. But for it to go into the runtime config DB, that there, you know, there's, this just means though that the, that we should probably think about if something should be added to, say, the platform information model, and how would that be modeled? And so that's why I asked, and I'm glad that Andy could join the call. I'm not exactly sure how I want to do that. I started again with the standards, because if you've, you know, I've worked in wireless for more than 20 years, and you know, if you're familiar with any wireless, actual wireless, you know, base station, there's hundreds to, you know, many hundreds to 1,000 plus parameters that actually define a base station. And what's in the 3GPP standards is just a teeny tiny fraction of the overall parameters. But I think it's probably something that, you know, all the vendors can agree to. So that's why I started there. Maybe in the future, you know, we might want to talk about other parameters we all want to introduce, but that's going to be probably a much longer and bigger discussion as different people will have different ideas of what parameters we want to introduce. So I started with the standards because I felt that was pretty, you know, pretty safe to, base to start with. But again, these are wireless 3GPP standards. 3GPP is focused on the wireless domain. So that's something also to keep in mind in modeling is, you know, things we might introduce in a resource model or a platform information model would be, you know, would be only applicable to that domain. So there was also another suggestion to, you know, these parameters are used actually in different classes as well. So for example, operational state is actually mentioned in three different object classes in the model. So the inner cell DU, network slice, and network slice subnet. And also bringing your attention to at the end of this table, the last objects are actually are related to network slicing. And I do know there's a separate use case that Swami is working on and others are working on for network slicing. So in fact, Swami's on the call. So you guys working on network slicing might have already or are probably already aware of some of these parameters and maybe already looking at how to model or use them.
Ben. So we are basing ourselves on this only, Ben. However, we are not taking the latest spec, Ben, because if you look at the 28.541, right, which was in December, the G30 version, so it contains a lot more parameters in the service profile, Ben. That we haven't yet taken into consideration. That will be for the G release.
Right. Okay. Great. So you know, as you see already, there are applications and use cases and people working on use cases such as the OFS on PCI and Swami and on the network slicing that are already encountering the need to think about how we want to evolve the model. And rather than have, you know, 20 separate different use cases happen over 10 years that might be looking at these different parameters over time, the focus of this use case is let's just ask ourselves and rather, you know, in a more orderly fashion rather than haphazardly, let's think about do we want to maybe introduce all these parameters or at least the groundwork for how these parameters could be introduced in a more orderly fashion. So that's why I'm here. Okay, so there's a bunch of attributes, and I have, the ANI team has said, you know, you can present on future calls and let's have a discussion and go over these parameters to see if what's in the PNF, you know, in the ANI schema, if these things can already be modeled and supported. So that's one. That's one effort that we can pursue. Another one is with the modeling subcommittee, and I'm completely open to, you know, I just did the data mining, right? So I just did the upfront legwork. And the next step is to kind of open up a dialogue of what we want to do with this information and how can we formalize it and bring it, incorporate it in an intelligent fashion into the model and into the platform information model. And I don't specifically have any thoughts of how we might do that. I'm gonna elicit the experts to tell me about that. Okay. So I'll pause there for a minute. Any questions on anything I've presented so far?
Just a thought, maybe. With respect to actually, you know, prioritizing the information model, maybe it would make sense to first focus on the information elements and classes that we might want to model for ANAI. Again, working with the ANAI team, also understanding, you know, how those, not just the model, but how do those information elements get populated and how are they, you know, modified, et cetera. That would be a good start. And then of course, I think, the runtime config is going to be, more challenging. I think there's a lot more detail that would go in there. So I think we need to understand the architectural approach as far as, how they would, you know, approach extensibility and, are they really representing all these elements in the smarter, you know, APIs, or are they going to have this, you know, flexible schema approach?
Right. Yeah. So Jayan and Swami and I have been talking about that as well. And in our sixth, certainly we're going to have something relatively simple just to get something out the door, but that's why I think it's good to think about this kind of stuff, you know, a release or two in advance, because at some point we're going to need to find out how the runtime config DB will accommodate this information, right? Like, do we have some fixed, you know, model or schema for the runtime DB that will use this? And I think Kevin or Andy had also mentioned, do we want to have a sort of subset of part of the model dedicated to be able to allow for the domain-specific stuff? How do we make it so that ONAP will work for routers and for something very complex like a base station, right? So I'm not sure what the most efficient way to do that is, but I'm sure, you know, we should probably think about that so that we can intelligently incorporate that kind of model in.
Yeah, one question, Ben, based on our earlier discussions, right? I mean, at least my understanding is that the ANAI will be stopping at the level of the PNF, so which means probably the CU or the DU. I mean, so probably the DU, but the cells underneath it, right? I mean, the cells associated to a DU, at least my understanding is you will not be able to find directly this information in ANAI. That would be probably stored in the runtime config DB. Of course, it should be, I mean, let's say the index should be matching with the PNF so that we should be able to get the corresponding PNF details from ANAI. But right. This assumption is still valid, right, Ben?
Yeah, absolutely. So actually, that's a very, very good point. Let me pull up Joanne and I worked on the runtime config DB, have been leading discussions on that, and let me see if I can show you something which will be relevant here. So, just to give you kind of a big picture view of the runtime config DB, the idea is that there's operational data, configuration data, and exo inventory data, meaning data that specifically doesn't fit in ANAI, that's not inventory related. And then Joanne is also going to be working on like network and logical and physical connections. That is the type of stuff that would be stored in the runtime config DB. And it gathers information, or can information can be written to it from various sources, from, you know, from incoming CM notify events, from from the orchestrator or requests from an operator, syncing with ANI and other use cases, such as, for example, the OSLAM PCI use case. And as we started thinking about some of these records that might be in the database, Swami astutely notes that, well, gee, you know, there are things that you'll want to keep in the runtime DB that really doesn't have a corollary in ANI, and a cell is a good example of that. So I would expect, it doesn't have to be, but I would expect that a cell probably would have an entry in the database, and that you could basically associate some record element in the database with, and I'm going to call a cell a logical object. So a cell might be like a logical object in the database, and it may have whatever, you know, parameter. If you're familiar with wireless systems, you'll know it has a lot of parameters. But it might have in ONAP some parameters that ONAP wants to or cares about. But the key thing is that it could associate itself with, say, a PNF, and the PNF itself might have an association with that other logical object. And I think that's probably how ONAP essentially would come to know about a cell. I completely agree. I don't see this as something that would be in ANI. A cell is something that I think ONAP would be, or a person using ONAP would be aware of it through the runtime config DB. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And Joanne, did you want to add anything to what I said?
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah, good.
Okay. Let's see. So, all right. So I think one of the things we want to think about is, it's definitely true that, you know, many of these parameters arguably aren't going to be needed, maybe for many releases to come, right? So one approach might be, let's just introduce stuff as we need it. Okay, so for example, you know, the OFSON PCI use case comes along and it says, you know, we need to know about cells, let's introduce PCI and stuff. And I think I have a slide, I copy the slide from the OFSON PCI use case team, which has the attributes that they care about, like network ID, cell ID, PCI value, neighbor list, and so forth. And you know, these are a few parameters we could introduce as use cases need them. And so, for example, like network slicing, there is a team of people working on network slicing. They can introduce the stuff as they need it. And then another approach is to say, well, gee, you know, it takes a long time to go through the modeling work, and if you've attended modeling teams, I mean, they're very thorough in how they talk and discuss and introduce new stuff. So, you know, it takes time to go through that process of review and discussion and stuff. So it might be smart also just to introduce, you know, it probably wouldn't hurt to introduce all this stuff in advance of when you would need it, because when you might actually need it, it might take a whole release or two to get it in. So I think that's something to consider as well. So I guess I'd be curious to hear people's thoughts, or Mikkel or Andy or others. What do you think we should do, or how do you think we should proceed? Would the information model, do you think we'd introduce something new here, or is there something we can already extend? I'm not so sure what's in the model now, but you know, there is a PNF that's already in, I should show you that too. So I also looked, let's see if I can find the presentation up yet, let me see. So there's a slide pack related to the modeling stuff. So one thing I also looked at too is I looked at the PNF descriptor model that's currently in ONAP, the VNFD model, and the PNF ANA model. So there's a bunch of parameters already in ANAI related to, you know, PNF. And they're arguably, you know, many of these are going to be sufficient or will be able to be mapped to what we'll need from that. also sort of was brainstorming and looking at various things that from standards to things that are related in the ONAP that we might care about. So I had mentioned these or shown you these standards already. there's also the complex object, which has geolocation and location type information, the ANA schema, STC-AAD model, and kind of what we're talking about now with the platform information model. People in the modeling team have been looking at the GB922 and RFC6225, which is the geolocation standard, such as latitude, longitude, altitude. So, you know, all of these things, there's a lot of information coming from different places, and specifically to what we care about is what will a 5G base station need when we train it up, right? So it might be the case, you know, the output of this work might be that, well, you know, we have everything we can actually turn up a 5G base station already. And that's great. If that's the case, then, you know, we might not have to do much, right? And except just think about how you might want to introduce some of these things in R8, let's say. But I think we should do our due diligence at least. And you know, here's all the parameters that I think at least as a foundation or as a start that, you know, we might want to be looking at. and how might we introduce this or incorporate this into the platform model? I think, you know, maybe it would be something, you know, these parameters are mostly related to, there are also core network stuff, but a lot of these parameters are related to an XNF, right, a PNF or VNF. So they're probably things that maybe would be modeled into the resource, I guess. So I'm happy to entertain thoughts of how we should proceed, thoughts on the modeling, you know, like Andy or thoughts from the modeling team. What do you think are the next steps we should be looking at? You mentioned, I think, that you know, let's take a look at some of the immediate needs that ANI might need, which I've already started the ball rolling on that. So in the coming weeks, the ANI team has given me some time to speak. So I raised the awareness today on their call, but I only had about 20 minutes to present. So, but for the other parameters, Andy, what do you think what would the next steps be? Do you think that we should look at?
So, do you have references for all these, or?
This is, all of these are coming from one single standard, 3GPP 28.541, the 5G network resource model.
That's a resource model.
Yeah.
So maybe, and they've defined classes, right?
They have, yes.
So maybe are we using like the classes in their entirety? Or are we using a subset of the classes? It looks like probably a subset, right? Of the classes. Are we planning on implementing all of the classes?
So that's a good question. So Swami who is actually kind of paving the way here because they're one of the first teams that are using some of this stuff. Are you guys introducing like the classes for network slicing? How are you doing the network slicing stuff from 3GPP? They recommend some classes for network slicing.
For Frankfurt, Ben, we are pretty much like using only portions that we are needing in terms of the scope, Ben, because we just like you know, right? We want to get started before we aim for a big bang kind of approach. Mm-hmm. So we are only introducing some elements and reusing the same that service modeling constructs that are already available, right? So it's using that we are building upon. But I think going forward for Guilin, I think what Andy is asking is a valid question. Whether we want all of those, because for example, right now we are not really looking at those core network classes and the NR related classes, right?
Mm-hmm.
But sorry, yeah. A question. Where did you introduce these classes? I mean, I didn't catch if you put an NAI or a runtime DB.
What I was referring is for the Frankfurt release, we are pretty much modeling the slice as a kind of a service. So using the existing constructs is only we are building the use case currently. So we are not going the full hierarchy of what Ben was showing, right? We are not going the entire path in terms of what the 28.541 model shows. You also remember, right, the discussions we had with respect to the slice subnet and the 1:1 mapping and all that, right? You remember when we talked at the...
Yeah.
So we are not yet fully going that path. It will be handled or it will be resolved. It needs still to be resolved both from an architectural perspective as well as from the hierarchy and the information model perspective. But that's something for R7.
I see. So essentially, you're not introducing anything into the actual platform information model. You're just creating a service that has the information model like information in it enough for you to get going, a kind of a use case, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So ultimately, we probably do want to formally engage. And again, I do intend to. Have a dedicated agenda item on the modeling call to present to the modeling team the stuff here and also think about what how to introduce this stuff. So
one question here. Sorry.
Yeah.
With respect to this information models and the question that Andy was bringing up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually having another concern, Ben, here. So for example, right, if we look at also the alignment with ORAN.
Mm-hmm.
So now I assume that ORAN will be coming with their own, I assume, either the Yang or the information models. Now, what will be the stand of ONAP with respect to ORAN alignment and how does it all fit into in the context of 3GPP as well?
That's a really good question. I have been talking with the people working, Marge and others working in ORAN. And as you know, there's actually an ORAN ONAP harmonization use case, which I expect will continue into future releases as well. They pushed out a lot of the O1 stuff. And so from a modeling standpoint, from what I know, a lot of what they're doing is actually driven from 3GPP, actually. So I think that they're actually, in many cases, pushing the 3GPP standards. So if you look at some of the CM, like the CM work, for example, CM Notify and the fault event and things. And I think most people are in ORAN are actually using 3GPP as a foundation. So hopefully, I think... If ONAP sort of sticks to and doesn't stray from, let's build upon the 3GPP TS 28.541, I expect that should help a lot and that will make it so there won't be too much disagreement and make it easier for ORAN and ONAP to align with each other. But that's a really good point. I think maybe we should probably... We should also probably find out exactly more details of what they're doing. I think that would be that's a good thought. I think we should figure out what we want to do here. So, okay. So I can reach out to Marge and others that I know of, at least. So
Ben, so the front for release, so in terms of the ConfigDB, so Sammy, you are here. Just want to make, just always think. Original thinking, say, ConfigDB will be focused on some use case imported to the O-RAN so-called YAN model to be used in the SUN and extract a certain attribute to fill the SUN use case in Frankfurt release. I just want to make sure that's still the case.
No, that's not the current understanding. The reason being, the YAN models are not yet officially available from O-RAN. So what we have taken, at least in our use cases for Frankfurt, we will still have the old YAN models because we don't have a YAN model from O-RAN which we can use.
Okay, so then in other words, say to clarity, say you currently in the SUN use case, the model you still use the old YAN model, like in Dublin release so far, right? So the ConfigDB extracted contribute still through the old YAN model, right? So can we say that the old SUN use case, all the attributes has been automatically extracted to be served the SUN use case for ConfigDB for the SUN use case?
No, I didn't get the last point. So we are still using the old YAN model, and there is some work in terms of converting the YAN into the automatically converting the YAN into schema, right? I think there's some work that is ongoing that Shankar and I think it's Ted Johnson who's doing it. So that work will continue, Joanne. However, it will use the old YAN model, and we will be showing it, or we will be sharing the progress that we make in Frankfurt. But the O-RAN YAN model itself, it's not going to be for Frankfurt. It's going to be for the R7. There is one other alignment which we are doing with O-RAN. At least we are taking the first steps towards O-RAN alignment, which is earlier we had this notification, right? The CM notify that was earlier coming over the netconf interface. Now, because O-RAN has now decided that it is going to be, the CM notify is going to be a WES, right? Over WES. So that WES, we have the draft specification available. So based on that, we are going to generate a WES notification and then drive the further actions for the use case. Joanne, however, it's not going to be a complete one. So I just want to add one word of caution here. It may not be the complete one in the sense that the WES collector in DCAE may not be updated in Frankfurt release, because I think that's going to be done only in R7.
Yeah, because the Ben and I are going to focus on, we can combine to you in the G next release, because we say now let the SUN use case go first, do the one you serve with the Frankfurt release. So now picking up Ben, we have to, sometimes we can engage with you, Shankar, we have to pick up the pace to continue work on the, for the ConfigDB. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's actually a good question, Joanne, too, because I think that brings up another point that I think is related. And if we look at, if we look at these, right, these are parameters that were already introduced in the SUN PCI use case. And I think another activity, Swami, is of the parameters already used, the parameters already used for the OFSON PCI use case, notably these ones, right? PCI value enable list you know, et cetera. the question is are these in or are they associated with 3GPP TS20.541, and you know, is there any kind of mapping to these? And and of course, one of the key ideas is that the OFSUN PCI use case cares about cells. So modeling cells is actually an interesting topic, right? How should they be modeled, and how are they modeled, and is the way they're modeled now, or is the way they're handled in some PCA's cases something? Is that something we want to evolve formally?
Ben, I think eventually, we have not yet done the reconciliation with 3GPP, the 28.541 in full yet. But if there are some other use cases which need the cell as an object, right? From a modeling perspective, we could also work together. If not, we can start with the SON use case as a kind of a reference. Because it's also good to have a solid reference, right? Rather than being abstract.
Yeah, absolutely.
So from that point of view, it may be a starting point. However, though the usage or the requirements are limited in terms of what information we are looking for in a cell. And it can then be extended further for other use cases, including network slicing.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, I think it's a good start, and maybe, there are, if we lay the foundation for that well, there's certainly many other things that we could build upon. So I think we're at a stage where, we're at a very good stage where this is the beginning, and let's do it right, and let's think about carefully how we want to introduce those things we need to in the model, in the platform information model, so that it's very extensible. I think that's the whole point of this use case, right? So, one of the things, I don't know if I wrote it down, but one of the topics too, I think, is the domain. That either Andy or Kevin brought up is all this stuff we're doing is for the RAN wireless domain, right? And we also want to make sure that if we introduce stuff, that it won't preclude ONAP working with other domains, right? The modeling stuff that is introduced will not preclude the ability to support other domains. Like routers and stuff.
Yeah, the key point is extensibility, right? Yeah. And that it goes back. I have some questions about how runtime config.db deals with that. And I see the word you say importing the Yang model. Is that how runtime config gets their schema? They import Yang models? Is that the general idea? Are there other mechanisms? Does it need to be hard coded, or is it flexible? So I'd like to get a better understanding of that perspective.
Yeah. So right now, I think the schema in R6, just because we needed to get something done, is hard coded. So the schema in R6 is hard coded, but we definitely want that to be able to be extensible and also to be dynamic as well, so that you can import, say, a package, a vendor package, during onboarding, and it would affect or it would guide how the runtime config.db set up. So let me write that down.
Do you want to be runtime extensible? So that I can import a new type of PNF along with its config information, which means probably even importing a schema and having it represented internally. Maybe challenging, right? Because then you'd have to probably restart the whole thing.
So I think that's there's actually lots of things we probably have to think about when we get to that, when we cross that bridge, and that's probably going to be more of a.
But I think we have to have at least those discussions as to what the strategy would be. And that'll help us make decisions on how we model things today.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay, let me make that as a separate point here. So.
Few question at the enough for the information model will be full in compliance, or what is the relationship between the information model and the YAN model? Do we know, Andy?
Right now, we haven't defined the information model for 5G, right? We have a general information model that talks about PNFs in general. Then we probably want to be able to attach, at least for NAI, attach the 5G specific aspects of it for different types of 5G elements, whether they're PNFs or VNFs, it doesn't matter. And then there's a whole runtime piece, which is like the Yang, most of the Yang model. There's probably more stable or static information in the Yang model as well that would be represented in ANI, but there's probably also a lot of dynamic or changing information that would only be represented in runtime config.db. And I think that's what Ben was kind of pulling out with his 3GPP Excel spreadsheet. He's trying to pull out those attributes. So the question is, we probably would have to model the domain regardless of how it's represented. Even if you just store the config stuff as a blob, you still need to be able to parse that blob, which means you need to have some kind of model, against it. So it may not be a bad idea to have, at least a view of what the information model is for we'll call it the payload or blob. BLOB.
Yeah, but then you say, as you he just mentioned, right, the ANI wouldn't do, we even now put up common practice, and we may not even put the the only PNF information, only very high level, or VN information, down below information will be in the config.db low level application. In this case, will be config.db.
Yeah, anything that's dynamic or changeable or that you're discovering, right? That really doesn't need to be represented probably at any. I think that's the decisions that are being made now.
Exactly.
And I think that's where Ben's spreadsheet provides a lot of value there. So it's really important that everyone take a good look at that.
Yeah. So Ben, you're very good instructor for the 3GP attribute. Did you touch that Excel spreadsheet in your link? I didn't see that. It's in your link, right, for the website?
Yeah. So if you go to the 5G service RAN modeling website, and you scroll down to the towards the bottom, I uploaded the standards for everybody. So if you just want to get the standard, you can also search online for it. But it's 3GPPTS20.5.1, and the spreadsheet that I'm showing you, that I've been showing you, is also loaded on that use case. You can download it from there. So this the spreadsheet is available to everybody. I think I put it in the chat already. Let's see. Yeah, I think I put it in the chat already. Yeah, no, it's in the chat already. So in the chat you'll see the link to this 5G service modeling use case, and near towards the bottom there is the spreadsheet and stuff I've been working on. Okay, great. Excellent thoughts and discussions and things. So I think, Andy, one of the next steps is that I should probably just also go to the modeling subcommittee and make the same presentation so the people in the modeling team can also think about this as well and how to proceed.
If you want to make a shorter presentation, but use those slides. But I think it would be good to highlight, and also kind of highlighting what our strategy is. So what are you asking the modeling subcommittee to do, and maybe ideas to solicit participation.
Right.
So maybe we can make that modeling of the ANI pieces primary. See what we can reuse or import from the 3GPP model. That's kind of what my thoughts are right now. And then how do we attach them to and hang them on our base classes, like PNF.
Okay.
Yeah, I do like the way the 3GPP model, you know, has all those functions kind of separated out and then attached to the managed element. I think that's, you know, a very good approach.
Yeah. Okay. So again, I don't have any strong proscriptive opinion of how we should do something, but I think it should be, you know, discussed in the community, and how whatever the community recommends that how we should model this. You know, I want to raise awareness early enough that this is what.
And yeah, but really you have a good proposal with that spreadsheet, right? And I think that's, you know, a good starting point.
Good starting point, yeah.
It's a matter of like YAMLizing the information you have.
Yeah, exactly.
So, okay. So that's probably what you want to ask at the modeling subcommittee. You know, who would like to help you know, create the papyrus model around that as input?
Papyrus. Okay. Great. Thanks. Another thing, as another next step too, I should mention also that I've made presentations at the AMI subcommittee team call, which happens also on Wednesdays at the hour right before this one at 9 a.m. US EDT USA time. And they will also be hosting future discussions on the parameters that I've flagged. In the spreadsheet. So that's one of the other next steps as well that that will take to proceed. Okay. All right. Okay, good. So I don't know that we need to go over these parameters specifically. One thing I will note, though, that in particular, a lot of the address stuff, there were, if you look at some of these classes, these endpoint things that, so these endpoint n da 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 up to 26 and so forth. In the model, there's actually, of all of these boxes that are in the network, let me see it, show you a picture here. So essentially, of all of these boxes, like the user plane function, the session management function, the unified data management function, the authentication service function, and all these different functions, there's basically links to all of these are modeled, right? So if you look, for example, the link between the network slicing function and the AMF function, all these different sort of boxes, the user plane function, the session management function, all are modeled as these endpoint things. And the main thing that they have is just basically an address that goes between, you know, the link between these two boxes has some kind of endpoint. Because ANI has things related to addresses, I modeled that. I flagged that as something that ANI might care about. But they are one of the, if I zoom out, you can see that, you know, like these addresses, they are probably the parameter that appears in the most number of different separate objects. So you can see, for example, the local address and the remote address appear in a whole bunch of different objects. Nothing else is quite that prolific, right? Most of the other things are kind of, you know, onesie, twosie type things. There are also a lot of things related to cell and DU, as you can imagine. So there's a lot of parameters related to cell, and that might be something that the OSON PCI use case might care about. There's things related to frequency, cell, and the bandwidth part. So that might also buy us some time, because some of these things might not be super necessary right away when you turn up a base station. You know, we might not need it immediately, say in Guilin and R7. We might have a little bit more time to think about that. But the main thing of the main next steps, though, I think, are just to think about how we want to introduce any of these at all, and to lay that foundation so that somebody working on it in the future can intelligently introduce stuff. You know, if we introduce the model, the base class stuff right, and the structures right, it'll be very obvious, you know, that oh, you know, I see the structure already. I kind of recognize this stuff from PGBP, and here's some easy place that I can hang new stuff off of. So I think the coming activities from the modeling subcommittee will be very important to lay that groundwork right. As I've already experienced with the ANAI team, for example, you know, even making changes after the fact are often very hard in ONAP. For example, if you've been familiar with the PNF name and PNF ID that Chesla brought up, it was extremely difficult to change something that's already in place. I also, you know, just was on the previous ANAI call where I mentioned our work with, you know, that Jacqueline and I and Andy and Kevin have been working on the place and the complex object and its relationship to the complex object with respect to the RFC 6225 geolocation information. You know, the stuff that's already there can be very difficult to change. So I think it's very important to lay that groundwork. The stuff we put in place for other things to extend upon will be very important to do right the first time if we can.
I'm nodding. Yes.
Yeah. So many experienced engineers will have probably already experienced that same sort of problem a number of times. Okay. We're almost out of time. I just have 1 minute left. Any final thoughts or comments or anything? Any questions?
Benjamin, I have a question that in your expertise, you have multiple parameters, some indicate it's the impact on ANAI, some in runtime configuration DB. Can you also add a little bit more text at why you think it has to be in ANAI?
Yeah, sure, of course. Yeah, so that's a good thought. Okay, so that's a good thought. Let me put a new column here for like notes. Yeah.
Because I think most of them it's relevant for runtime DB, but
since
we want to push it into ANAI, should be a good reason for it.
Absolutely, yeah. So. That's certainly an important thing. If some, you know, I don't expect most of these to actually be in ANAI. And I was very conservative, saying, you know, erring on the side of caution just to open up that discussion. But I certainly don't expect most of these things to be in ANAI. And I think that's a good idea. If something is going to get ANAI, I can capture some notes as to why we think some ANAI should be extended and what's there isn't sufficient for what we need. Yeah. Okay. All right. Great. Any final thoughts then before we close? Okay. Somebody called on 1404951620. Does that ring a bell? Is that somebody's number? Okay. All right. Anyway, we'll close here. Thank you, everybody, for attending. I hope you found this useful. I'll upload the recording, and you can find other people to it. And you'll have the link to the use case to find out more information. Okay. Thank you. Have a good day, everybody. Thanks.
Great. Thank you, Ben.
Take care. Bye.